Hey there, everybody, and welcome back. This week, for our last week of talking about preparation, we are going to be visiting with my friend Jay Morrell Stewart, who knows a lot about how a little preparation can go a long way in helping you save money, both in your homeschool and in your family life. So let's welcome Jay Morrell and get right into it. So Jay Morrell, thank you for joining us today. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself, where people can find you, and kind of a little bit about your background and how you started down this road of learning about how preparation can help you save money in your homeschool and in your family?
Sure. Well, my name is Jay Morrell Stewart, and I have a site called freehomeschooldeals.com. And they can also find me over on largefamilytable.com, which is just more my journey, hopefully encouraging a lot of large family moms along the way. But over with Free Homeschool Deals, how that really got started is I had spent several years homeschooling my growing family pretty much for free or nearly free. I would have many years where, you know, I might have spent $100 over the course of the year in our homeschool. Amazing. Things, of course, have changed over the years, but it was during that time that I really learned how to work my resources and just use the tools the Lord put in front of me. And many times that was the Bible and my library card and refilling my own ink cartridges and scouring the internet for resources to build our homeschool lessons.
Well, that's amazing to me, and I'm really looking forward to jumping in and finding out some of the ways that you came up with your ideas. You know, I know that they say that necessity is the mother of invention. So
yes.
for a lot of our families, they find themselves where they have the need to figure out for sure how to do this as economically as they can. So you just talked about, you know, your library card, which I think a lot of us recognize as a great tool. But kind of lay that out a little bit for us, because not all of us are as creative as you are. So what were some of the ways that you made your library card work for you? Especially, I think that you can do that so very well when your children are little and kind of
right
stuff together. So can you share some of the things that you did, some of the ideas that that your library card really worked for you and your family?
Sure. Well, one thing I would do is I always, you know, like all good homeschool moms, I would drool over various homeschool curriculum catalogs that would come to our door. And there was no way I could purchase that particular homeschool curriculum. However, it was literature based, and there's several different flavors out there. You know, there's Sunlight, and there's My Father's World, and I know there's more. I'm just about to have a baby, and I'm drawing a blank. And so when those catalogs would come to my door, and just different homeschool resources, my library has a nice feature, and now I live rurally, so I'm sure this is available in other library systems, but I could go through that list. And actually, number one, what that would allow me to do is whenever I would go to thrift stores, I learned to, and excuse me for jumping to thrift stores real quick, I would learn to pick up all the Newbery Mentions and Newbery Award winner chapter books that I would see, you know, maybe for a quarter, just to add to our home library, even if we weren't on those books yet. And then with ordering through the library, I would go through the curriculum list based on different themes that we were doing, and then I would order our books. Our librarian would have them in a stack, and then I wouldn't have to, say, go into my local library and dig for different resources. I would just pick them up at the front desk,
which
was very helpful.
Oh, yeah, particularly going in with...
And so... I missed you, Leslie. What did you say?
I just said... It's especially helpful when you're going in with a brood of little.
Exactly. So we could still, you know, during the years that I did this heavy, I had, let me think, I had 3, 4, 5, and up to 6 children. So those were the years, probably 5 to 6 years that this was, you know, my main style. And so I could go in, we could still, you know, get little storybooks and have a nice little library time, but it saved me. There was no way I could have done that with a bunch of littles with me.
Right.
And so a lot of ways that I would do it is, you know, of course, like with my two older boys, I would have math worksheets that I had printed off online based on their current levels, and they would keep those in notebooks. Mm-hmm. And I would give them copy work, but I would base that off of Bible reading and then literature reading that we were doing. And then I would usually pick a theme that we would focus on for several weeks. Sometimes it might have been two or three themes based on different subjects. And I would pull ideas for those themes, let's say it was Leonardo da Vinci. So that would be very simple. I would start with a Google search on that topic. I would look for possibly any kind of field trips within, you know, a sane driving distance that could relate to the study, and that I could also, you know, work a deal or wait for a deal to be able to take the kids on. And then I would also try to pair up, if there were any free lap books available, homeschoolshare.com is one of the sites I've worked heavy for free lap books over the years.
Okay.
Amy just has wonderful, wonderful things. And even if she did not have a lap book that, say, would go with the Da Vinci study, I would be able to get enough historical time period resources possibly. Or I got to the point where I could make my own lap books.
That's awesome.
And she has free templates on her site. So I could just, you know, print off the little ways that you would fold the paper or fold the page. And then we could write the title of the book. I could ask questions, and the boys, you know, they could fill in the information or do pictures or, you know, do Da Vinci flying machine. So it was a hands-on creative study too.
Well,
and then we would have our stack of library books to go along with it.
Awesome. How would you say that incorporating this kind of a strategy where you are really digging deep into some very interesting things and doing it both experientially by field trips and by literature and by lap books and all of these different very creative ways, how do you think that that affected your children in the way that they approach education, their love for learning, the way that they look at school, that kind of thing?
Well, they're definitely a whole bunch of researchers and they dig well for information. So I know my oldest son, who will be 17 next year, and again, we can never really know where all the skills come from.
Right.
I do know, though, that he is self-taught in photography and filmmaking, and he has pretty much Googled and read his way through it, and he has a large church now that he's doing the videoing and photography for and those kind of things, just basically self-teaching himself. And then I have another son who's interested in animation. So whether that has anything to do with the Leonardo da Vinci lap book, I'll never know. But I do know that they know how to look for information based on whatever they want to learn about.
Yeah. Oh, I think that it has a lot to do with the fact that they found out at an early age that information is everywhere, and all you have to do is know how to look for it and where to find it. And
Exactly.
I think that is one of the key points of home education, is helping our children find those spots, find that desire to go looking, but also help them navigate where to look. And thankfully, as you pointed out a minute ago, that's a very economical thing to learn. So
Exactly. And we also, and this is something even still to this day, we do heavy. It's just part of our homeschool soul, is we really got into doing read-alouds.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, even today, for us to do 2 to 3 hours of reading aloud is common. Mm. And I'm going through this now with, you know, another younger herd of children who are coming up. Mm-hmm. And my older children are big readers as well, and good listeners.
Right.
And of course, doing read-alouds, and a lot of the things, you know, I'm mentioning, as moms, we go through different seasons, and sometimes, just like if a mom, let's say, doesn't have a large grocery budget, but she has the hours that she can put into gardening and canning and homesteading, you know, I don't have those kind of hours to put in. But during that time with our homeschooling, I had the hours to pull the resources, you know, do the research. And we did like a rotating homeschool schedule.
Okay.
Where we did 6 to 9 weeks of school and then took a week off.
Okay.
And so during that week off, I would put, you know, a few hours each evening to getting our structure laid out for our next upcoming school time.
The next block of time.
The next block, exactly. So I would get, you know, I would get our studies ready, you know, notebooks, all the materials that we would need so we could just go through it and enjoy it. And I wasn't pulling resources for that whole time.
Awesome. And you were ahead of it, so you could enjoy it a lot more as well, because
right, I knew what was coming.
I have something for tomorrow.
And I have found myself too over the years, you know, sometimes when life has gotten busy, I've just said, okay, well, I'm going to order this curriculum box. But because of just the way my mind works, I still end up taking things apart and making them work for us. So now what I do more of a mix of is, another skill over the years, is I'll look for different curriculums I enjoy or I want the resources from, and then I work on eBay and the different, there's many homeschool, used homeschool curriculum groups on Facebook. And so I'll just work to get what I want, you know, half off or a third off.
Excellent.
Because I know I'm not going to work it, you know, to the exact intent. I'm going to take it apart. I'm going to spin it a different way. I have kiddos who are homeschooling from 4 to almost 17. Hmm. And then we have a toddler and we're about to have a new baby. So, you know, we just have different needs. We have kids at different levels and stages.
Right.
So I like getting it used if possible. But then there's also times like if we're at a TTD convention and then they have the Christian Heroes Then and Now books, I'll just buy them and I like it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Those are
so there's other, you know, there's other things I'll just get and I enjoy getting them.
Right. Right. Well, do you have any other tips, things that you share on free homeschool deals, anything like that, that could really help inspire these moms who are just looking for ways to set up their homeschool as economically as they can?
Right. So on free homeschool deals, we have freebies that post every day that are in basically all the different subjects. Like right now we have one of the freebies that's featured is free human body printables. And so if a mom was doing an anatomy and physiology study, she could print those out and then do a search on the site in the search box and just print, you know, pull the links and print all the different anatomy printables that we have available. And those could match with a notebook, or I'm sorry, match with a lap book, or do more like notebooking pages with. And some moms like, there's several different ways to plan your homeschool year. One way that works with my type of personality, I think we have to over time kind of lean into what our giftings are as the homeschool mom leading the homeschool.
Absolutely.
Yes, there's, you know, I have spent time, besides my 6 to 9 week plannings, I have spent time trying to plan out the whole year in advance, and it never looks like my plan in the beginning. So a good combination is doing that reverse planning, and I've done this a lot where I take a notebook and, you know, I try, because it could take up pages, but I try to write down, you know, all the highlights from the day of what we've done, and all that we've accomplished. And that's a good thing to do too. If you feel like you're not doing enough in your homeschool, or you're just, you know, you're not sure, it's good to write it out and realize how much you are really getting done in every day. And then, of course, what I've always gone back to is very similar to what Ruth Beechick talks about in the book, The Three R's, is the math and the reading and the writing. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're you know, not on a break and hitting our homeschool hard, I try to make sure that those three things are done every day. Right. And then as far as, you know, the history and the science and the other subjects, those can be rotated or peppered throughout.
Yep, yep. Well, Jamarille, we are actually out of time. I would love to get you back on here another time to talk about just the family edition of what you do.
Sure.
But you have given us incredible tips, incredible helps. I'm so glad we had a chance to talk, and now I can't wait to hear your baby news coming up real soon.
That's right.
Yay.
Yay.
Well, thank you very much, and for all of you, we will see you next month when we talk about tips and tricks and talk to some bloggers and some other members of the TTD team about just little things that you can incorporate in your homeschool that may make a huge, huge impact on your day. So until then, we'll see you.